All right. Like we said, the series is Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And it's to guide us from being stupid, foolish Christians. A Christian can be foolish. That's why you have parables about foolish people. That means to do things that lack wisdom. We'll be covering a few things together. And actually, I'm one of those believers that expect believers to think. I've always said that Jesus washed your sins and not your brains. And I have a lot of Christians that really need to think. Now, I will just, today just, basically just give us a direction instead of a foundation. From next week, we'll get to the very, as it were, practical aspects of scripture. You know, I'm going to read something, to us. It's an article as a starting point. And it's an article on, just 1 second. Okay. Usually, Christians are oftentimes, you and I, we're oftentimes caught with, like I often tell you, either or. So you have people say, can two things that look like from two different worlds, can they be from God? Can they be of God? You know, so say, it's either or. Such that you won't say, can I replace prayer with this? Can I replace this with prayer? Almost like they are substitutes. And it goes again with the way we see our spiritual lives. Like, it's either I am spiritual or I am logical. Almost looking like being spiritual and being logical, even though they're not more than opposite. In as much as they are not the same thing. The fact that something is not the same as the other does not make it word and opposite. It's like saying, can I use light and sound? Light and sound are not the same, but they are not opposite. It's not like light and darkness. So when I say, can I think about it? For example, if somebody wants to marry you. Okay, not you. You almost say, Pastor, who? and you say, what he will expect you to say as a believer is, can I pray about it? Or if you say, can I think about it? Think about what? Pray. You know? It's not like when I'm praying, I'm not supposed to be thinking. A very simple way is, if you are praying, and this is a Nigerian thing, and they take the light, you go and put on the light, or something like that. It was dark, which means that you didn't know the light was off by a revelation. So it wasn't like if you don't use sound, you use light. They are not opposites. So don't think that the opposite of your spirit is your brain. They are not opposites. The opposite of your spirit is not your brain. And the opposite of spirituality, right, is not being natural, is being stupid. Because nothing in scripture will tell you not to use your common sense. Let me just see this. So this is an article on culture, the fallacy of the Christian faith and ethics. I'll get the author in a moment. Then he says, logic is a systematic study of reasoning, inference, the process of drawing valid conclusion from given information or premises. Logic is a systematic study of reasoning and inference, the process of drawing valid conclusions from given information or premises. Everyone, usually believers, gives lip services to logic's importance. For example, this amongst Christians, anytime someone appeals to common sense, right, they are actually saying there is a logical thought process by which everyone should arrive at the same basic conclusions, common sense. Many people acknowledge the importance of logical thinking. Logic has fallen on hard times. There's lazy thinking. It abounds. This is purely driven by advertising and social media culture. But this, by the way. Then it says, as Christians, God commands us to discipline our minds. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. And to set our minds on that which is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. It's going to be a text we're going to go through. Controlling how the mind thinks is a crucial Christian discipline. Then, we have experienced in recent times sloppy Christian thinking, where we use the logic of either or. That is either I am spiritual or I am natural. Now, of course, the concept of carnality will almost make it look like the moment you say natural, then it's of the devil. No. Wherever you find carnal, it is in context that it looks bad. Anything that is natural, that is not outside the earthly interferences, is carnal. So carnal doesn't necessarily mean devilish. So oftentimes you have believers caught in that cross-section. Of course, there is also the extreme of those who believe that Christians should just think alone. Others think Christians should stink alone. Sorry, pray alone. It works the same way, you know. I'll share a story. This is a bit about around politics. A few years ago, not too far, I think this must have been 2001 year now. So I was involved in something, and no, that's not the story I want to share. So that I now knew someone, and the guy was trying to vie for governorship of a particular state. A good Christian, he loves the Lord, and the Lord loves him, I believe. So I asked them, what's your strategy? He said, they are chosen of God. And I felt, were they going for pastor's office? But you know, many times among believers, you don't want to sound like you are not of God. So you just say, oh, all right. So when I now said, so my partner then, I can mention him, is a mentor to me, also a partner. He is a pastor too. But then he wasn't a pastor. And so he said, they formed a committee, all of them Christians. You want to govern a state, and everybody on your team are Christians. Sorry, that's stupid. If you are going to, for example, run for something as simple as student union government, you can't put members of AUCSF or all this. That doesn't make sense. And for a prayer meeting, outreaches, study group, they must be Christians. So I asked them another logical question. But because we are all believers, it was like, Pastor, I said, okay, what is the strategy? How do you intend to get all the different blocks? I tried to explain to them establishments, the voting blocks and all that. It was like I was speaking Greek and Hebrew. All right, so I now said, okay. Say we are praying. So they were gathering every time to pray. And I was saying, for what? They said that since they are anointed of God, and of course they went to church and did all that stuff. So I asked them a simple question. I said, have you seen this person? Even the Bible talks about principalities and powers. And they said, no, that God said that no man will be responsible. I said, if you say that, then nobody is going to vote because that is man being responsible. But you know, they didn't listen. So after a while, they kept meeting. So they said they were going to, I don't want to mention the state. And then they said they were going to, I said, so have you taken something along? Said, like what? They said, no, that God said that the heart of kings are, oh my Jesus. I know when you start dealing with Pentecostals and charismatic, you just have to, so you don't appear like a friend of mine, Pastor Diolu, who say, so I'll not look like an unbeliever. He said, there's unbeliever, there's unbeliever. See, I just looked. He's also a pastor. So they went around and I said, they didn't take anything, as I tried to say, take something. They didn't take anything. So I said, no problem. So when they had the primaries of the party, a party that I belonged to, I told my partner then, like an elder brother, I said, Ebon, if this man scores 2 votes, I will resign my membership of this company and I will not be a shareholder. I said, no. Yeah, don't say that. I said, okay. When they had the primaries, he scored 0. I was not surprised. You know, I said, it's logical. It's like you believe that the moment you are in the spirit, 2 plus 2 is 4. Or sorry, 8. 2 plus 2 is 4. It's not the Holy Ghost said 2 plus 2 is 22. No. Let's stop thinking. And you see, when we do things like that, because one of the first things in scripture was that God put order, separated light from the darkness, you know, times and seasons. You must know order. Which one is for which? Where do I start to think? Where do I start to pray? Of course, praying is always Ephesians 6:18, but when do I think? Well, I'll tell you, I should think all the time. Even when it comes to the word of God, you are supposed to think. Meditation, right? You are supposed to think. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, you are supposed to think. So we must learn to think. Thinking and logic is not anti-scripture. Thinking and logic. Now, I'll give you a short background. Look at the parables of Jesus. Now, this is a little bit of some theology, because what we're dealing with theology, some kind of technical theology. So I have something. Okay, maybe I should read that next week. It's one of our coming up, on our upcoming books. And I said in, I'll just try to capture what I wrote, that you cannot use a lie as a parable. Now, the Bible is based on parable. Psalm 78 verse 2 says, I'll open my mouth and speak in parables. All right? And he says, of course, in riddles, okay? Mysteries, the New Testament will call it, Psalm 78 and verse 2, I'll open my mouth and speak in parables and utter dark sayings. Of course, parable simply means to use illustrations. Okay? That's what it is. So, which means the scriptures are written in parables. Listen very well. And in Matthew 13 and 34, they said, Jesus spoke to them in parables. There was nothing he taught without parables, so that it might be fulfilled that which was written. Just as the Psalm we read now, Psalm 78 verse 2. I open my mouth and speak in parables and utter dark sayings as of old. New Testament Greek says mysteries from the foundation of the world. Now, what is a mystery? Or what is a parable? A parable simply means, I want to talk about something supernatural, then I'll now use something natural. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So, do you know that there is no way I can use something to illustrate another if they don't share common principles? Right? Okay, that means that if I'm going to illustrate prayer, and I use a different template to explain it. If the template is false, the prayer will also be false. So even though parables are fiction, all right? For example, I mean, I was to review, I do reviews of, movies, okay? So I was to review a particular serial just recently, and I did a piece for someone, and I said, it's flawed. Fiction is not necessary, it's not a lie. Even though it is not like it's happening, but it's not a lie. The moment it's a lie, it becomes fictitious. That's two different things. In literature, fiction means that it's not like it happened, but we create a scenario of a possibility that either has happened or is happening or can happen. That's what fiction is. Are you following what I'm saying? For example, when Jesus gives a parable, he gives a fiction, not fictitious things. The reason why the people could relate with it was because it surely happens that way. So I told them when I was criticizing, I said, this is not possible. They were trying to do something about the governor, and they were the governor of Lagos State. Then they were now saying the governor of Lagos State. That somehow it was going on the road. Then two cars. Even his special assistant has more than two cars. I said, I understand the budget of your film. Okay? But this is not good fiction. It will put off, and then it doesn't resonate. You're talking about Lagos, nothing is rowdy, you know, stuff like that. And there was no siren. Because even though you're trying to teach a lesson, the basis is flawed because the parable is not adequate. Parables don't have to be 100%, but they must be sufficient. There must be something I can relate with that is not out of this world. So to use parables and look at scriptures, parables of science, Jesus used it, parables of agriculture, parables of commerce, parables of government, parables of politics. He used parables of trade, parables of employee-employer. The fact that he could use those parables means that, one, that's a real life story or everyday, well-proven principle of human existence. So if we say that the Bible is written 100% man, 100% God, and God inspired it, it therefore means that underlining the Bible message theology about God, which is largely spiritual, is an acceptance of common everyday principles. Call it common sense and logic. While it is true that we cannot condense the Bible or make it look like teaching commerce, politics, government, and so on and so forth, etc., societal stuff like that. But the fact that the Bible does use those everyday principles shows you, for example, Jesus is talking about you having an enemy. I thought the first thing was to just pray and God will sort it out. But look at Matthew 5. Let me show you something he said. A lawyer would naturally resonate with this. Matthew 5. The moment I read it, if you're a lawyer, tell me exactly what Jesus is talking about. He says in verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly. Lawyers? Huh? What's that? Huh? Agree. No. Agree with your adversary quickly. Thank you. Out of court settlement. Don't say the Lord is my defender. Paul appealed to Caesar, not by the Holy Ghost. He says, whereas thou art in the way with him, lest at any time your adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, that thou be in prison. That is mediation, right? Arbitration. I wrote an exam in arbitration just about the time I left university. I didn't conclude it. I would have been one. Maybe I'll still be. So, you know, that's simple. But now, where does this fit in? You know? Where? I know you will skip verses like this. Because you don't know where to put, whether it's in casting out the demons or walking. You don't even know where to place it because for you, when you open the Bible, you must see things like principalities, power, might, dominion, pneuma, pneumaticus. But this is a simple thing. Go for arbitration. There are times like that you talk to a Christian. You say, no, the Lord will fight for me. Hold on. Can we resolve this matter? Resolve it. I was with a believer one time and then the police stopped him. I was in the car. That's how I knew. Was at the night, it's about 2-9. I could smell that guy was drunk. Then the guy said, no! Where is it? He said, bring it out. He said, no! I looked at him. And I said, you really don't want your angel to walk unnecessarily. I don't want to talk about the implication. You know what he wants. Even. All this grammar they are speaking doesn't make sense. No, no, no! My right! Check your Google map. It will tell you where you are. You are in Nigeria. It's common sense. That's what it is. Logic tells you somebody has a gun in a dark area. And you are speaking big grammar. If anything happens to you, it's not because the power of God is not working. Because the brain he gave you was not working. I mean, I was on the bike years back. It was in the 90s. And the bike driver was moving fast. I said, oh, guy, relax. I'm not going to the hospital. Now, this is someone that just had a healing meeting 2 days ago. All right? So the guy was trying to tell us. I said, no problem. So I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. I just kept him gisting. He was gisting. So I asked him to just park somewhere. I wanted to see someone. I don't know why he lost his mind. It was the police barracks. So I went inside. I said, this guy wants to kill me. Please arrest him. The driver is on top speed. They are speaking in tongues. Sorry. What's the tongues for? Do you know, sometimes when I get, I'm on one of these rides, taxi, and I say, don't worry. Is your problem the money? That's why you are moving fast. How much do you want to make? The guy says, I said, don't worry, I'll give you. That money is not worth my life. Amen. There was a guy like that. We was just, was in the cab. So was saying, I was a police officer, was shouting. The guy said, I said, how much is he asking for? He said, I will never give you 500 naira. So I looked at myself. If anything untold what happens here, and they say it's because of 500 naira, I said, take 1,000, give him. Just common sense. Those Abraham, Psalm 91, oh guy, you are in boats. That's where you are. Praise the Lord. Logic is not the opposite of being spiritual. Logic becomes dangerous when it opposes the word of God. So, we must therefore learn to know that God, you know God gave you a brain? Huh? Let me tell you how you will know God gave you if it's not there. Oh, you don't get that. Imagine if there was no brain. That means it's useful. Right? So, never think it's either or. As we go into different subjects, it's not either or. He gave you a brain. Brother Hagin will say, use it! He gave you a brain. And a good one for that matter. To process information, to use data, statistics, to come to logical conclusion, and to think. So we mustn't see it as the opposite of spirituality. Spirituality actually is to be able to appreciate everything God has given you. That includes your brain, your mind. Logic is not devilish. No, it's not. It's in no way devilish. You know, Jesus, look at Matthew 24. Here, of course, he's talking to them about persecution. And verse 20, of course, how they should run Look at something that's basic. Let him that is, verse 17, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. Neither let him, woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those years. It's going to be bad if people have to be feeding their children. Then he says, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Neither on the Sabbath day, so that you can get Okada. So that your smooth movement can be smooth. The winter there is not a spiritual language, yo. So, you know, I don't use weather reports. I don't care. I don't use weather reports. Maybe they say you want to fly a plane, say the weather is not good, so don't worry, I have a child of God getting the... Or you are traveling and then the rain is heavy. Then you now move from 120 to 140. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. You are about to gain. Do you understand? That's what's about to happen to you. And he says, don't worry. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Is that your car? No. Think. Those who made the tires were not praying when they made it. They didn't have revelation. They made the tires, they made your brakes, and you know brakes can be anyhow. It's not attack. But everything is attack. Something happened recently at an hospital, very unfortunate. I was so shocked. Someone came and said, it's arrow. So when I was talking in a group, I said, remove the first R and the last W. Nonsense. How? So, you cannot suspend your brain. Even in visions, we think. Use your head. Think. God gave you the brain to think. It also means you should develop it. God wants you to develop the brain. I'm going to highlight three personalities, making four eventually, who were so useful in scriptural or scripture history and how. We mention Moses a lot, and we mention Moses typically and Paul. In between them, we have two other personalities, and you wonder why. Notice that Joseph, the first character in the Bible, apart from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he had arguably the longest history in Genesis. From Genesis 37, because 38 was about his siblings, then you have to chapter 50. 37 to 50. 14 chapters, 13 eventually actually, because 13 and 38. Why? In 50 chapters, a great-grandson of Abraham takes 12 to 13 chapters exclusively. Of course, you also have Moses, who practically wrote the fulcrum and basis of Bible doctrine and theology. In between it, you have Isaiah, who is almost the most quoted in the Old Testament. Then you now land in another person, Daniel. Now, listen well. For a Joseph, right? He's raised by his father, a typical farmer. We hear nothing about him. Pay attention. Because with Joseph was the first documented history of Bible truth. The bones that he asked him to take with them when they leave Egypt. But look at the background. In Genesis 37, all we hear about him was he went to his brothers who were feeding the flock. Then he came to tell the dad, you know, of things he were doing that were not good. Nothing about him. Then the dad loved him. Now, he goes to Egypt. In Egypt, he is in the house of Potiphar. He's a slave. And in the house of Potiphar, pay attention, he's placed over the whole house. Okay? In verse 4, Genesis 39, he served, alright, he's overseer over the house and all that he put in his hand. What else? The things prospered and were fine. He did so well, verse 6, that the man didn't have to make requisitions and all that. He was really good until the woman wanted him to sleep with her and all that. Let's go over that story. Then he's put behind bars. He's in prison. Yet in prison again, in chapter 39, they put everything in his hands in 22. All this is happening in Egypt. All. So he begins to acquire experience. Obviously, for Potiphar to put him over everything, it means he went through mentorship. You ask a Christian who is into banking, who is your mentor in banking? He says that's his career. Oh, he said, my mentor is Reverend. Is he a banker? No. He's a prophet. Oh, so that means you're a prophetic banker. How does that even sound? It doesn't even sound good. Not at all. So he is mentored by Potiphar. He goes to jail. Then the keeper of the prison again, verse 22. Because mentorship is passing information, instructions, and also responsibilities at some point and resources. Then interprets the dream. Notice what was going on to Joseph. He is both spiritual and natural, right? He's interpreting dreams, but it doesn't stop there. He's not so useless. You know, don't be a believer who outside praying in the spirit, you know, prophesying, just useless. He's not useless. He's useful with natural things. It is not either or. Such that the Christian character he has of being of the spirit is seen in how he handles natural things. So eventually Pharaoh has dreams and then they call him. Now, pay attention to what happens here. He interprets the dreams. He gave them divine revelation. And when he does that, look at 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man discreet, wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Discreet and wise here has to do with knowledge, information, exposure to facts and resources. Look at verse 34. Let Pharaoh appoint, do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Hold on, guys. Was this in the dream? Huh? No, come on. Was this in the dream? No. How did he know this? Because of his experience. It wasn't in the dream. We will need common sense to execute supernatural revelation. You use common sense. That common sense, of course, is logic that came from experience, exposure, use of data, analysis, things that had worked, had not worked. He said, you are going to do this. He said, and he said, and gather all the food of those good years that come up and lay up corn under the land on hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And the food that shall be for the store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Look at 37. Now, in those days, Egypt was a bastion of knowledge, education and all that. The king saw it. It was good in his eyes. Where else? In the eyes of all his servants. Is this an economic policy? Huh? Strategy? Oh well. Which came from, now I don't believe education has to be in the four walls of a school. Was Joseph educated? Yeah. He was exposed to knowledge. Obviously, let me ask another question. Had he, as it were, moved away from his background? He had. It's like going to school. He's exposed. He now knows how to handle things in the house of a very important figure. Look at the man. Maybe we should backtrack a bit. Who was Potiphar? Chapter 39. He was an officer of Pharaoh. Verse 1. Captain of the guard. He was a high-ranking person. So he is going to do something in commerce, which is going to lead to the deliverance of his family. He will not learn it in Bible study. He will have to go. Look at the guys handling the cameras, the guys handling the sound. They didn't learn it in a Bible study meeting. He will execute something that came by divine revelation using logic. Logic that came through exposure to facts, data, analysis, experience, empirical analysis, and test. That's what he did. And that's what he's doing here. What does the man say in 38? Unto his servants, Pharaoh said, Genesis 41, can we find a man in whom is the spirit of God, actually the spirit of the gods? For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and as wise as you are. You shall be over my house. Unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. In the throne shall I be greater than you, and all of that. So he gave him authority, of course, also gave him a wife. Amen. All right, some of you kept quiet because you're just acting kind of. So you won't have taken it. All right, keep pretending. So notice in chapter 41, what he said came to pass. But what bailed them out in Egypt was not a vision. The vision showed them what the problem was going to be, but what bailed them out in Egypt was plain strategy, facts, information. In today's world, research, right? Data, analysis, and it's right there in the Word of God. Such that in 57, now of course, something that happened, they are stalled. People say, we're hungry. He said, go to Joseph. He'll tell you what to do, verse 55. And verse 57 says, all countries came to you to Joseph for to buy because the famine was so sore in all the lands. They came to buy. And that is how Egypt became so prosperous. By basic, not let me call it basic, proper economic planning. Are you aware that planning is not of the devil? If you start to plan, you want to marry someone, say, let's plan the next one. No, I don't plan. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. The most important thing is that God has brought us together. Let no man put us asunder. Man does not have to put you asunder. Let us plan. Say, no. A pastor said, of course, that's not me. As long as I'm led. You know, there was someone who wanted to travel. And the guy was believing God to go to the United States of America. He said he says he's led to go and school abroad. So I didn't answer him. Said he was believing God. He said all that. So I now asked him a question. The dad had died and then left the property. He had brothers and sisters. So I said, so what's your plan? Yes, sir? What's your plan? Well, I just believe. Okay. Let me tell you something. How much is the school fees? And they said, I saw one. It was even 2000 and something. I said, your dad's house, assuming all your brothers are magnanimous and sisters, they sell the house and give you the proceeds. They just had to live in a shanty place or under a tree. Because they came to die for the sins of the world. They give you the proceeds. You can only pay for one semester. Don't become a burden for believers because you acted stupidly. You're not sending WhatsApp message. Bro, sorry, you know. It's not like I'm disturbing you. You know, the way things are here. I said, go and take jam. Because that's what I told him. I woke him up one night. I said, tomorrow morning, you go and join tutorial. All the things you were saying, I said, I was just listening to you because you don't know me. I can listen to you. The day I'm ready, I'll call you. Oh boy. It's down the road. I'm going to bypass questions. He's a graduate today, he's married and he's doing fine. That's all I did to him. I didn't pray about it. Don't waste your ticking in tongues around anybody. Jesus said, if you want to build a house, what do you do? Now, do they need to tell you that on the pulpit? That's, if you want to build a house, say, so how much is the land? I don't know, but I'll buy it. What is it to build the house? What's the, you said budget? Do you have a BOQ? Do you have a, you know, what's BOQ? The most important thing is the hand of Zerubbabel has started this war. You will need Zerubbabel at this point. Now the Zerubbabel will finish it. He said you will count the cost. That means you will call engineers, right? You will call them and say, Gibby, this one is too expensive. Do the test. No, we're not doing structural testing. Whatever is of God will stand strong. You are not well. You do structure testing. Because that house Jesus said they built on the sand. If they are both engineers, it would have come down. It's true now. They say, oh boy. Jesus is coming down. Say, he's not coming down in Jesus' name. You know, God does the impossible. You handle the possible. He said, if you are going to war, before you start making mouth, he said, look at your soldiers. Jesus said it. Lest you start the house, people begin to mock you. That you could not feel, you don't say, Lord, don't let me put to shame. Don't let the enemies ask, where is your God? Jesus said they will mock you. Which one is your God? Is it the one that asks you to be stupid? You are going to war. You know, when you see some things, you say, what is this? Oh, God, then we asked somebody that was going to a school there, and our principal said, the best thing is, let's send 2G to go and talk to them. We look at everybody around us. The people that wanted to fight, neat uniform. Those ones can't fight. When you want someone that can fight, he will fly his collar. The guy's, his belt is in place. Still like this. He wants to do Tyson. Well, that's why we went to complain to the principal one time. He said, the principal, I was the one that took, the guys who have one glasses, like they had one gold plated. I said, I wrote a petition. I said, we wanted one particular, guy to be expelled from the school. He does not fit into the ethos and the ethos of Jesus. I spoke very long grammar. We wrote it. The man did not answer. I was furious. I called another assembly. I said, I used to lead those days. I said, you know, we are going to protest. We are going to do this one. So, like 2 weeks after, some boys now came to attack the school. I was in the hostel when I heard it. I faced the village. I ran. All of us ran. So the next day, they asked us to, we asked them to expel. He was the one that, I won't tell you how, but he was alone that faced them. Not by flesh and blood. So, When he changed them, when I went to school the next day, the principal said, "Where were you yesterday?" He said, "Oh my God, you ran away. You asked me to expel the boy." He said, "Tori Wereta." It's because of the bad guys outside. Hope you are listening. He said, "Come and contribute for security in the area." I said, "I'm secure in Christ Jesus." Even Jesus. In the government said, "Ministry is not supposed to be..." Where's from who are talking? Ministry is not supposed to... The man of God is doing man of Godism. Jesus had people that were protocol. So you can't say when he asked the question, "Who taught me?" He said, "Ah, who taught you?" Can't say, "We're trying to ward people off you." So no, if it's Jesus, it doesn't need any protocol. He won't need the cross to die. Ah! Have you seen mob action before? They will just say, they want to touch his clothes, and they will be stepping on. He can cry, or Jesus cried. Are you listening?
Yes,
Joseph, right, was chosen. Not because he could pray, even though he could pray, to worship God with his skills and talents. But what he learned, he learned it under, listen, non-believers, as it were. They said, "You want to work in some place?" Ah, they said, "So what do they do there? Who is the MD?" They said, "The guy is Tajuddin." "No, no, 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 no. We don't do Babylon." Say, "No, no, 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 no. You know, we are just all the only believers that, you know, this the wealth of the Gentiles are coming to." He learned it there. And one thing we saw about Joseph, there was contact but no contamination. You must know how to engage in this world. How to engage in this world. Look at Moses. Moses, in the same Egypt, Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, he grew and was brought up unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Verse 11 says he had grown. So, all Moses' resources that he used to put down the word of God today was from Egypt. He was educated there. That is why you will see in the law of Moses, you will see an overwhelming evidence of existing cultures, traditions, knowledge templates within his world. God used the same knowledge of Egypt, Babylon, Mesopotamia, ancient Near Eastern that he gathered in school. Because if you are going to use parable, you need the knowledge. And you must know the knowledge well. Sometimes like when I'm talking like that and I want to give an illustration and I see something that doesn't make sense, some of you just look at me, "What's the pastor saying?" Because it's not my field. You just say, "It's not like that too." If it's medicine, I begin to say something, you say, "Ah no, that's not it." So to even preach a parable properly, you must be versed in it. This is what happened to Moses. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. Look at this one. Verse 20. Moses was born exceeding fair. He was nourished from his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Ivy League school? Ah?
Yes,
Ivy League school?
Yes, sir.
Oh, did he glorify God? Don't say, "No, no, no. Doesn't matter which school I go, I understand." He was nourished up. Look at 22. He learned in what? All the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Did you see it in his ministry?
Yes.
A believer, E.W. Kenyon said, eternal life will make a man to love education. It will. You can't put ignorance and the life of God in the same bottle. How? You know, the challenge usually is, if I go for knowledge, secular as we call it, non-spiritual knowledge, it's against the word of God. No. They are not words and opposites. What many people lack, we are going to see, is just priority. That's all. And this is the same Moses that practically, so when you say law of Moses, the word law is wisdom, knowledge, doctrine. Where did he get the masterful masterpiece? Or should I say the mastery from? From school. The best of schools. The very best. The Christian, well, which school do you want to go to? Say, anyone the Lord leads me. What's wrong with you? The Lord, can the Lord feel jam form for you? Ah! Say, pick a school. He said, well, I don't know. He said, choose the best. God is not against the best. Go for the best. So, here's Moses. Look at Daniel 1. This is Daniel. Another astute prophet of scripture. Look at verse 4. The king, verse 3, spake to Aspenas, the master of the eunuchs, and he said he should bring son of Joseph of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there is no blemish, well favored, what else? Skillful in all wisdom. Now, is he saying those who know how to interpret scripture? There's nothing that, he doesn't have a business with scripture. He said, look, skillful in all wisdom, calling in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach and learn the tongue and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And that is where they found Daniel. Look at verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill on learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look at something similar with Daniel and Joseph. He has knowledge from the non-spiritual. He has knowledge of the supernatural. For the supernatural, that one is ministry for the saints. Ministry of the plan and purpose of God in the earth. But the one he will use to serve in the king's palace, which in another sense was like a politician, a government official, the one he will use there, skillfulness. The ability to interpret data, information, to use it positively, education, exposure to information. It's not anti-faith to be astute in knowledge that is not spiritual. It's not. It's not anti-faith. I've been in a particular place for a while. Sometimes I'll contribute. So now I have to do a speech when I was done. So this man said, you know, and we're talking, they said, I thought they said you're a pastor. I said, I am. Ah. He said, but what you're talking about? I said, I went to school now. And my own went to school. I'm still a student. So I said, a student? What are you looking for? Ah, things are looking for me. I have to know. People are now talking. How they are contributing, they are speaking in tongues. Who asked you to speak in tongues? They are talking about what to do, how do you generate funds for this one? They are talking about digital economy. They are talking about how to raise funds, revenue. They are thinking, God will take. That one is for Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m. service. 10:30. This one is Monday morning. Come and contribute at management meeting. You say, I'm sorry, MD. You know, I was doing my study group assignment, so I was full of the word. That's why I have nothing to do. You can just go and be in church. And when you get here, there was nobody here. has contributed. Can done research. And I work for some organizations that are not spiritual, and I do research for them. So I do as a pastor. Someone said, what is the Lord saying? I said, no. Let's look at this thing very well. That's what the Lord is saying. The one we can both see. The Lord is the one there. Don't think God is detached from natural things. Like God is about this. Someone said, God is about is salvation. 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 Anything about how? So, He made the heavens and the earth. This earth that you have here, He made them. That's why Paul will say Philippians 4, we'll soon get there. So your brain is for you. You had Joseph, you had Daniel, you had Moses, of course Isaiah, I'll get to him, and you had Paul. Paul obviously, now this is not trying to disparage anybody, but it was obvious that not much of the gospel given to Gentiles can be committed in writing to fishermen. It's just the truth. When they saw Peter, James, and John, they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. That's all. Acts 4:13, they saw they were unlearned. When they saw Paul, too much learning has made him mad. It's the truth. Because anything, Paul will engage you at mass here. In Paul's letters, almost exclusive to him, not only him, he was the one that used non-scriptural authors the most. Look at what he said in Acts. He said, as your own poets also have said, in him we live, move, and have our being. Your own poets. That means that he was able to engage them on the same level. That's why he could write almost half of the New Testament. So when he's with the Jews, he's able to interact. When he's with the Gentiles, amongst the learned people in society, he's able to interact. And he was speaking in tongues, but he was not answering in tongues. Common sense. He knew what it means to appeal. When he was a citizen, he said, look, when he said, I am a Roman citizen. He didn't say, I'm a citizen of heaven. They said, don't touch this guy. That's simple intelligence. The other one said, oh Lord God, I have made the heaven and the earth. Said by the mouth of your servant David, what did he eat in a rich pool? Imagine a vain thing. Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. Education. He will pray, but he also knew what to do. There are some things that can be solved. Right? While you're always praying, someone just say, this is what I'm doing. We just need to call this guy. That's all. When we're going to do Believers Convention, and we had the problem with the venue, I said, okay, I know what to call. I just call somebody. So what do you do? Call. You know, we are praying, being led, definitely, but I call somebody. Call this person. So I said, call that person. Call this person. I knew who to call. I said, Lord, show me the place with you. Just is Mount Zion. You need to be exposed and get information to what to develop your brain. Are you there? We also need to know the difference between miracles and process. Listen very well. What delivered Egypt out of the famine was not a miracle. A miracle gave them the information on what was going to happen. Right? But when it comes to how you are going to sustain the process, how you are going to sustain, as it were, miracles and blessings, you have to step up your knowledge game. The requisite experience, requisite information and exposure. While revelation told them what was going to happen, it was not revelation that delivered them. Astute information, proper planning, strategy. Are you here? That was what built Egypt out. Do you think that every day Peter would just pack his ship and the door and say, Master, you can still teach in this boat. We don't have to walk all night. If it was what Jesus did all the time, he would have come to them in John 21 again. Just once. And they caught a great death of fish. That was all. The second time Jesus was talking about, said, go and catch fish. That means the fish was not there again. Don't say every day, I live in miracles. I know you do. From day to day to take me to the end. Know the miracle you are talking about. When it comes to finances, God, miracles can meet your needs. You know what a need is? Recharge card. T-fare. Food from morning till evening. Miracles. But you cannot advance your business on miracles. No, you can't. You love to engage. Ask questions. Whatever field you are, get mentorship. Have someone say, I'm going to do this. I say, who is your mentor? Say, I never thought about it. You're not going anywhere. You're not. In the business world, all I needed was a mentor. Years ago, the man took me around. One day, and I had, you know, I had this need. It was house rent. So I wanted to ask him. He's a very influential Nigerian. And of course, a Muslim. So I said, doctor, he now laughed. He said, Shekong, don't let me give you that money. I said, why? He said, if I give you that money, you have reduced your value. The kind of ideas you have, you may not get the money today, in future you are going to get it. Don't reduce yourself to somebody who comes to someone like me for house rent. With me, you have more than house rent. And he told me something. He said, never use your last bullet to kill a mosquito. Wait till the time is right. Say, wait. This request should be for something else. He said, I have the money. I can transfer it to you now. Now you can say, start to think about it. You can't do that one in church. Do you understand? You can't do that one in church. Somebody asked you, don't say, wait for... But this is the business. He said, look, go. Ah! I looked at him. We're going for business trips. I will visit African nations. He said, I'm not going to pay for your flight. Who'll go to the hotel? He said, go and look for the money. Ah! So this man is mean. Very mean. If I was at one, I had to call one guy that we should sleep on the same bed, so we pay for this room. The guy's from Cote d'Ivoire. But he opened my eyes. That's all he did. Different countries. That was all. He said, don't ask me. You have someone that can make you see the governor of a state. You are texting him for credit. Who is doing you? If you want to ask for credit, that's for your brother, your cousins, all those people that know you. Somebody that can sign off for you and they will give you a contract of 100 billion. You are saying, sir, I've had a rough time. You know. You have worked for a meeting with that kind of person. You say, you know, fuel price has increased. Ah! Say, fuel has increased. That's what you are discussing here. You sat down with people who can command billions and say, fuel price. They won't include you in any discussion. Like, fuel, in this kind of place, sit down in cell meeting. Don't go and discuss. Ha! Say, you know, it's very difficult. My fuel price. He said, Shekhu, don't ask me that kind of thing again. He said, people come every day. They text me. Now, as your pastor, ask me, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you pick a mentor in a field, there is more to that person than all those, what do you call it, stipends. There's a lot more. A lot more. Sometimes you're just sitting around some people, you see them discussing business, you see how they are negotiating, and you are learning. You are learning. Is more than they gave you tifia. Walk home and be meditating as you are going on what you saw. Do you understand? Get a mentor. One of my mentors told me, and it has been my principle, he said, the same energy you use to make 100,000 is 100 million. I said, thank you, sir. He said, I just thank you, sir. I just speak my mind. I said, the same energy. 400,000. 100 million. Why not let me go for 100 million? Because that is the same energy. And I've proven it myself. And the man didn't give me a dime. We're going to text him, sir, you know, I need the help. Do that for brethren. Those are the ones called to help you. In such times. They will meet your needs. But those that will set you on course, are you following what I'm saying? Use your common sense. Common sense will tell you what is the value of this person. Someone gave me his number. A very fresh Nigerian was in government. And I said, someone said, call him. I said, no. That's not the kind of person you'll be sending broadcast. Oh, Jesus. You are not forwarding broadcast messages. Hey! They will just mute your area. That's the guy that is walking alone. They'll just block you off. He's a useless man. So people like Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Paul, they knew how to use these things. Contact without contamination. It's just like healing. We'll get to all that. You know, a miracle of healing can get you healed instantaneously. But to sustain good health is diet. Common sense, right? Process. It's when things are now tough, maybe in the business world, then you pray. You trust God for a miracle. But don't forget, when the miracle comes, you need logic, experience, exposure to sustain whatever that you have. So let's put this down. Be very practical with knowledge. A Christian must learn to have, in the secular world, see, different rules play. In the secular world, or different templates, pardon me. In the secular world, you have sustainable goals, objectives. Planning is of God. Learn to plan. Family planning. Amen? Because if you are married, and you are just doing the do every day, first child came boga. Before the first child comes, check your app. GT, Access Bank. Can this app accommodate the third member of the Godhead? If it does not, use your mind, though. So that you have children that go and tell me, one uncle, uncle, Joe. You man say, Lord, don't touch you more. It's God that takes care of children. No, you sit down, you plan. You reason. You think very well. You are going to get married. Two of you, I'm not on this one, that's next week. You want to get married, both of you are into business. It's dangerous, oh. Both of you. Because business people don't get money at the end of the month. And both of you are now waiting and trusting God for the same thing. It's not good. One person, when they were going to work, some people stay with the armor, others will go to, let there be division of labor. Both of you cannot be saying, we are believing God and all that. There could be a point you now both resign and, but you say, you'll be collecting the regular things. Because businessmen, entrepreneurs dream big. Don't worry, honey. That house in Banana will get it. See, go to Emily Akeola number 46. Start there. That one, you can, before you see the other one, say the one that, you know, you can easily see. The two of you are now, you know, you're not going out in the morning, you're now in the house together. Somebody should go and resume somewhere else. Or else, that congregation is going to grow. The children will also stay with you. Say, no, Pastor, we are doing homeschooling. Planning is of God, though. Sit down. There's faith. There's foolishness. There's presumption. We must learn to apply information. Information is healthy. There are things that God doesn't have to tell you. When he told Zachariah he was going to have a child, Who will now tell you to go and sleep with your wife, Ejo? And say, you know what you are doing? You have to go to your... Nobody. Do you know we don't know till tomorrow? There's no scripture where Adam knew his wife, just for so that you will know. We don't know what happened between Abraham and Sarah. It's assumed that those who read the Bible have common sense. What else could have happened? How would the child come? Don't worry. I'll go to Mount Moriah. I'll stay there till you are pregnant. You don't have to be told. David asked the Lord. He said, Saul has known I'm here in Keilah. He said, would he come after me? The Lord said, yes, he will come after you. He said, will he try to kill me? Yes, he will try to kill you. If he gets me, will he kill me? Yes, he will kill me. He didn't wait for any revelation. He ran away. He just booked his ticket and left. To execute divine revelation, you need common sense. God has already told, he will say, so thou shalt run. You know, don't use your brain. It's so simple. We'll see all of that. Are you here? 1 Corinthians 7:21. I'll close there. I'll pick it up next week. Hope you are learning something. Use your common sense. Some of you that, you know, because of evangelism. It's not evangelism that's the problem. You didn't do well in school. You have a chance now. Some of them say, I can't read anything but my Bible. That means you're mad. Because those who wrote the Bible were reading other things. It's madness. I don't understand, but it's only the Bible I have understanding of. Where did I understand? 1 Corinthians 7:21. I'll read this to you from other versions. I can take questions. So next week we'll just go directly to the subjects, one by one. Now, Paul was talking about, look at what he says here. It's so beautiful. In verse 18, it says, if any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any called in circumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Look at how it starts. It's nothing. He said, uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God, let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. Now look, whatever state you are in, just stay. That's what Paul is saying. Now, look at the next verse. Are you being called a servant? He says, care not. That is, you know, your status economically, he says, don't worry. You have the Holy Ghost. Say, care not. But, if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. That Paul, let me read some versions to you. The English Standard Version says, are you a bond servant, employee, you are paying back debts, you are owned by someone, do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself the opportunity. The Berean Bible says, take advantages. The New American Standard Bible says, use advantages. NASB 1995. Don't worry. However, if you are able to become free, I'd rather you do that one. Amplified Bible. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't worry about that, since your status as a believer is equal to the free believer. You're free in Christ. He now said, but if you are able to gain your freedom, do that one. Me, I will do that one. Old Man Christian Standard Bible. He says, when you called while a slave, it should not be a concern to you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. So, Paul is saying, do everything you can. If there's the opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. So, a Christian must be able to recognize opportunities. Looking for opportunities to advance yourself economically is not lack of contentment. No. He says, take that opportunity. Another version. The World English Bible. Are you called a bond servant? Don't let that bother you. But if you have an opportunity to become free and advantageous, please use it. I know how to use opportunities. Know how to use it. That's what I was saying when you meet somebody who is influential. And the person, don't ask somebody who has influence to be giving you transport fare. Walk home. Don't waste the opportunity. Walk home. They give you number of somebody. Don't now call you. I need somebody. Now, you got the number of a minister in the cabinet of the president. Someone now says, maybe the person is IG maybe the IG gave you his number. Aburo, okay, gave you his number. Then, Lasma, now caught you here. He now say, let me call the IG. Who is doing you? IG for Lasma. No. Call a brother in church. Call somebody by the roadside. Don't waste the opportunity. Somebody that can, you know, say, okay, there's a grant coming from this, we'll give you, then I say, you got your phone number, who can I call this morning? I need money, hospital bill. Don't you know these kind of people have hospital bill every day? Then I say, sir, I was the one you met, you gave me anything I need. I said, but sir, right now, I mean, my wife has been in the hospital, can I just get 5K? The man will say, oh, okay. That's all. Thank you, sir. He will send you the 5K and then your number is gone. That's all. Use the opportunity well. Some things you can work. Some hunger you can take. Maybe you fast. In those days where we don't have money, we just say, I think I'm late to fast. you don't go and fast. A Christian must know how to use opportunity. Did Joseph use opportunity well? He did. What about Moses? He knew who he was. Moses knew he was a slave. But when he got the opportunity in the Ivy League schools, in the king's palace, he got himself free. Let's use our brains. Is that clear? Your brain and your spirit are not in conflict. They can work together. Is that very clear? Let them work together for you. We'll take it on from next week. Hope you learn something.